This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan, a Radio.com sports station.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
The hill and on to the other side. Playoff football at Lambeau Field, and we're getting you ready on 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, with the Wendy's Big Show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer alongside. We'll talk to Rob Reichel at 3:48. Eric Name at 4:48 as well. Give us a little lowdown on that ugly, ugly, ugly Bucks game we watched last night. But also there was some stuff after the game that made it a little bit more ugly for everybody else in attendance or in the city of Milwaukee. We'll get into all of that
stuff. Just didn't shoot well again. Had some issues.
Man, they're just slow starts.
Giannis throws free throws, air ball threes, it is what it is. Last couple of games just haven't played all that well.
No, and they haven't started quickly enough. So I think that's going to be the easiest way. That's the easiest way to rectify it. Easiest way to rectify it. And it's easy and it's fun, though, when we're talking about them playing bad and then winning.
Yep.
And not playing bad and losing by 17.
Correct.
Because that was the last 20 years of my life.
It was nice watching that game and seeing Golden State fans get all excited thinking they were going to do something at the end of that game in the last 3 or 4 minutes cheering. And I thought to myself, and that's where we were as Bucks fans. That's where we were. Every time you play a Golden State or a Cavs or a Heat team with LeBron on, and you get to within 5 or 6 with 2 or 3 minutes to go, everybody gets up on their feet like, here we go. We're going to shock the world. We're going to pull an upset in a regular season game. Here we go. We're going to feel good about ourselves. And then it didn't happen.
I think my favorite part about it, though, is they haven't forgot how to be fans of a team that's not great. They're still going to go in all the way through, and they're still going to support the team, even though they've watched NBA Finals basketball for the last 6 years,
right.
And now they're watching a team that might win 15 games.
Saw a lot of empty seats, by the way.
100%. Oh, yeah. Brand-new arena, empty. Matt Velasquez was saying there was a lot of area there last night.
Greatest fans in the country until they're not winning. Ooh. Then they're like everybody else.
Well, talk about the other greatest fans in the country. Those are Packers fans. And Packer fans, I expect to be out in full force this week, although ticket prices are dropping a little bit. Made the investment, made the decision. Heading to Lambeau on Sunday. Can't wait. Going to be in the stands. Going to be not as cold as I think a lot of people expect to be in January. That was one of the advantages, Sparky, that the Green Bay Packers were talking about a lot, expecting to have, right? Expecting to have that home field advantage, expecting it to be cold, snowing. Russell Wilson said it to Michelle Tafoya when allegedly he didn't know who they were playing after the game on Sunday. He goes, yeah, we're expecting some snow, expecting it to be cold. It's about 25 and overcast. Looks like a good day. So that might not be the main advantage that the Packers were looking for. But on the coaching staff-wise, you look at the Seattle Seahawks, you see 68-year-old Pete Carroll over there. Brian Schottenheimer, been in football forever with his dad,
right,
being a longtime head coach.
Yep.
They're established, right? They've lost guys along the way. Dan Quinn was a part of those championship teams. He went on and took over his own opportunity. But for the most part, that group has been together under Pete Carroll. For Matt LaFleur, he inherits the defense, and a lot of defensive assistants still remain with Mike Patton. He's brought in different guys, like Mike Smith was a first-year guy, outside linebacker coach, who we've heard of a lot. But you go onto the offensive side, and the offensive assistants, only Ben Sermons and Luke Getsy had ran an individual meeting room for their position, and that's the quarterback and running backs coach. You're going with a first-time offensive line coach. Nathaniel Hackett had been an offensive coordinator before, but now he's not calling plays. So he's been in that situation before. But a lot of inexperienced guys, all the way down to the tight ends coach, Uten. And you're looking at a group that is almost so inexperienced that a lot of times people will say maybe they're too young to know for their own good, right? Or too inexperienced for their own good.
Sure.
But for this exact matchup, it feels a little counterintuitive for which coaching staff has the advantage on Sunday.
It's interesting because if you call up and look at what the coaching staff looks like for the Seattle Seahawks, right? You said Brian Schottenheimer is offensive coordinator. And then you've got Chad Morton, the former running back. He's a running backs coach. Nate Carroll, I wonder who he is, wide receivers coach. Let's see here. Pat McPherson at tight ends. Mike Solari's been around a long time, offensive line coach. So you've got some guys there, but it doesn't blow me away with what's on that offensive side of the football. On the defensive side of the football, Kent Norton Jr. been around a long time coaching, former NFL linebacker. Yep. Jethro Franklin's former Packer line coach a long, long time ago. He's over there helping out on that side of the ball, too. Nick Sorensen's a former NFL player. Not that much in experience at this point. Larry Izzo, assistant special teams coach. He's been around a long time. So they've got some guys. It's not like it's an all-star cast coaching staff over there in Seattle where you get all worked up. And with all due respect to Ken Norton Jr., if I'm going to take Mike Pettine or Ken Norton Jr., I think I'm going to roll with Mike Pettine. If you gave me the opportunity to hire one or the other, I would probably roll with Mike Pettine before this, you know, coming into this year as far as, you know, who I would trust to run my defense. I think it would be Mike Pettine at this point. On the offensive side of the football, Brian Schottenheimer or Matt LaFleur. Obviously, no track record for Matt LaFleur outside of 1 year. Brian Schottenheimer had the long track record of being mediocre.
So, that's a good way to put it.
Not a big Brian
because
Schottenheimer
he's never
fan.
Gotten the opportunity to call plays for somebody or be a head
he
coach
was
for somewhere.
He was Brett's guy in New York with the Jets. We've seen this show with Brian Schottenheimer. There's nothing special about Brian Schottenheimer, and you're going to sit here and tell me, well, Brian Schottenheimer is an upgrade over Daryl Bevel. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that one way or the other. I really don't. I think they just made change sake to try and put a new voice in that room for Russell Wilson and that offense to kind of change things up a little bit. I don't think Schottenheimer is that good. So, for me, at least, you know, if you look at this coaching staff, I like this coaching staff more than I like Seattle's coaching staff. Head coach, yeah, you're right. Probably Pete Carroll over Matt LaFleur every day of the week, right? No doubt. We start looking at the other coaches and how this whole thing shakes out. I kind of like the uncertainness of what this Packers team is going to bring. Because you really don't know. In a guy's first year as head coach, you don't know what he's going to bring. Remember last year, the first time they played the Bears come out with all this stuff, and you're like, what in the world is Matt Nagy doing? And you had no idea really what it was going to be. So you really don't know. Seattle really doesn't know what the plan of attack will be against them. Pete Carroll knew what Mike McCarthy's team was going to do. They knew going into those playoff games, all right, we know McCarthy. We know how he runs his offense. We know what Dom Capers is doing on defense. We got a good game plan. Let's see what happens. Both teams knew each other. They knew what Daryl Bevel was doing. Everybody knew each other. And you can say, well, common opponent. To a degree, both of these rosters have changed quite a bit here in the last four
absolutely.
Or 5 years. So it's really not as common as one thinks. And the coaching staffs have changed over, too, in the last couple of years. So that's why, you know, you look at it and you go, wow, Seahawks, because of Pete Carroll. But when you start digging into it, I don't know, man. For me, I still take the Green Bay Packers in this one.
And it also comes back to how much confidence do you have in Matt LaFleur as a play caller, and how much do you believe that was the right hire and that is he is in the right position. I haven't seen anything through the first 16 weeks of him calling plays that would give me any hesitation to it.
Okay, let me ask you this, and I don't know what your answer is going to be. Why do you think they've been able to win football games without Aaron Rodgers throwing for 300 yards a game?
I think it's the total team effort. I think it's the 53 on the team.
So you think it's as much to do about the defense as it has to do with LaFleur's play calling and getting Aaron Jones more involved in the offense and everything else?
Yeah, because I think along with that, his play calling has put different guys in positions to win, but also Mike Pettine's positioning of Za'Darius Smith in the last 5 weeks since getting boat raced out in San Francisco has put them
weeks,
in a great position to win.
The defense has gotten better, no question. But I'm just saying, throughout the course of the year, I think Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of the credit for installing an offense which is utilizing, outside of Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones as being that next guy. And even when they had without their best wide receiver, and most of this fan base thinks the rest of the wide receivers in this crew aren't very good or aren't special or whatever. A lot of people think Alan Lazard is going to be the next special wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what some Packer fans think because they're just trying to trying to find some type of hope that you can find another really good wide receiver to put alongside Devontae Adams in this wide receiving crew. I don't know if that person is there. But when you're able to win without him throwing for over 300 yards and throwing for 3-4 touchdowns every week, and you're winning games, him throwing 200, 250 yards, no touchdowns, one touchdown, well, there's got to be something having to do with his offense of how you're being able to score points without a guy not playing at an MVP level that has played an MVP level his entire career. Some of that has to go back to this offense.
And a lot of it has to come back to the timeliness of the offense. And the red zone offense.
Yes.
And the red zone offense has been, I think, their biggest strategy or their biggest success factor on offense, because they've been able to cash in when they get down there. And then they're able to stop people once you get into the red area. Third down has improved drastically in the last 5 weeks. I understand the opponent, but you are looking at tendencies throughout the whole season. There aren't enough, I think, key locked-in tendencies to Matt LaFleur's calling of a game where Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer and Ken Norton Jr. are going to be able to lock in and say, this is what we know we're going to have to stop on Sunday. We've talked about them trying to get on track all year long, and sure, it's trying to get the team on track or trying to get Aaron Rodgers into more of a rhythm, trying to score more points, stretch the defense down the field. But you look at that Detroit game. How many different deep routes and deep patterns do you expect them to run on Sunday? Maybe 5, 7?
Yeah.
But they put 27 of them out on film on this past, or 2 weeks ago on Sunday. They've put so much out on film that I'm not positive their inexperience is going to catch up to them at this particular point. It could later on into the playoffs if you get past this round, because then you're going to go up against Kyle Shanahan, who probably knows more about Matt LaFleur than anybody else, and same with Robert Saleh. But at this exact matchup, I don't think either one has a clear edge, although at the top, I do think it is Pete Carroll, like you said. Pete Carroll, to me, is the one game changer out of all of it, that he does tip the scales just enough to give it to the Seattle side. Who has the bigger coaching advantage this week, the Green Bay Packers or the Seattle Seahawks, at 414-799-1250?
I'm going to do something that you really shouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyhow.
I like it.
I know what our question is, but I just came up with something else in my brain as you were talking. So tell me this. Baby Tausch, in a close game, NFL football game, in the last couple of minutes, it's a one-score game, right? Last 3-4 minutes of the game, whatever it is. Where do you look at and say, if this team has this advantage, they figure out a way to win? Is it simply the better quarterback? Is it simply the better head coach with better time management? What is it? Is it the better line play at that point the rest of the way out?
Now you got me.
Is it? I mean, I'm just kind of throwing everything out.
Now you're talking
out.
To me.
So when you get into the last 3-4 minutes of a game, and let's say, you know, Packers are up 3, Seahawks got the ball with, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to go. Seahawks may get 1 or 2 more possessions. Packers may get 1 more possession. And you're looking at both sides. Are you looking at, well, Rodgers has outplayed Wilson. I think Packers figure out a way to win this game. Or Russell Wilson's had their number the whole second half. It's going to be him. Or are people saying at the bar or sitting in their basement going, Pete Carroll figure out a way to win this game and steal it right from under Matt LaFleur's nose. He's going to figure out a way to get this done at the end. What is that conversation going to be when you're sitting around with your buddies or your family members and it's a close game coming down the stretch at Lambeau Field on Sunday night?
While mine is definitely different than everybody else, I think that's going to answer the question. You look at the quarterbacks, that's the surface right away. Everybody's going to look in trending how the game went, like you just said. If Russell Wilson's had their number all the second half and they're down 3 with 2 minutes to go, there's going to be enough anxious feelings in there. You brought up line play for me. I think
you
that's
smiled.
That is where I think this game just tips so heavily in the favor of the Green Bay Packers. I think their defensive line and their offensive line outclasses the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. I think that's how they dominate in a little bit of a ugly game, as most people will expect. But when you're down into that part of the game, that crunch time, that's the old big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. That's where the best player on the field usually is going to be able to make the biggest play of the game. And I think that's where the Za'Darius Smith conversation, while fun, if his numbers stack up into the Defensive Player of the Year category, that's where that award gets won in those type of moments, because those are the ones where people say there's no Charles Woodson on this team. There's no Leroy Butler. There's no Reggie White. Well, that's the point in time where you're able to change that narrative and say, well, there's a Za'Darius Smith. There's a Preston Smith. There's a Kevin King, Jaire Alexander, although those two might not be the ones that I expect to make that play.
Well, and that's just it. And will they be able to make that play when they're put in that situation? Look, nobody's ever looked at Za'Darius Smith and asked him to go be that guy in a playoff game. Nobody's ever looked at Preston right. Smith and do a Kevin Green and Clay Matthews. You know, it's your time. Go make a play now. And then Clay Matthews goes and makes a play, right? They've never been asked to be that guy in this defense. This is really the first time that both of them have ever been looked upon as to having to go be that guy in a big situation and make a big play. And whether or not they can do that at a big time in a postseason game, that's what we're going to have to wait and see.
Which coaching staff has the advantage, Packers or Seahawks, this weekend? You'll hear our conversation with one man that had sideline duties for each. Mike Holmgren comes up at 2:35. We'll discuss what happened last night at Chase Center, not during the game, but after the 48 minutes of play. And Yahoo's Chris Haynes is shedding a little bit of light, and you're not going to want to miss Steph Curry's explanation of what he said to Giannis Antetokounmpo last night after the game in a smile in a viral video that is all over. Oh, Sparky, I don't know if you've heard it yet.
Saw it.
But it is just epic stuff. I love when you troll fans and troll the media to think that we're all that stupid, Steph Curry. But you can insult my intelligence all you want. I'll just go to Wendy's and eat it away.
But yet Giannis can't do that to other people. They're back.
No.
While supplies
no
last,
chance.
You can buy a Wendy's Frosty Key Tag for just $2. Okay. So for $2, what do I get, Sparky? Well, check this out. If you spend $2 and get this Wendy's Frosty Key Tag, you get a free Junior Frosty with every purchase, not for the week, not for the month, not for a couple of months.
I totally thought I was reading it wrong.
3 months, not for 6 months, no. You will get a free Junior Frosty with every purchase for a year.
Makes no sense. They're going to make no money.
$2, and you get a free Junior Frosty with every purchase for a year.
I don't know how they're going to keep the doors open.
Great gift for teachers, coworkers, family, friends.
Your neighbor down the street.
Yeah.
Like anybody. The guy that picks up after his dog while they walk down your street. Give him one because that's what kind of stuff you're doing. $2?
$2.
There's no way they're making any money.
Give a gift while giving a gift to the Wendy's wonderful kids of Wisconsin in foster care. Let's help these kids find their forever home while supplies last.
It makes sense why it's going to charity, because all the funds that come through it, there's going to be fountains of them, and they'll just give more of it away.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. I thought I was reading it wrong when I was filling in for you for the full week and a half. I had to text Sheila and make sure that I wasn't reading it wrong and giving out some false information. Which coaching staff has the advantage this week, Packers or Seahawks? Mike Holmgren conversation at 2:30. Also, Steph Curry's explanation of what he said to Giannis. You won't want to miss that at 3 o'clock. Leroy Butler joins us as well as Rob Reichel at 3:48. Eric Name from the West Coast at 4:48. Mike Clemens wraps things up at 5:35. And three chances for you to win $1,000. Keep it right here. It's the Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Yeah, we've always had some good games over the years. Yeah, the way it's gone over the years, other than once, I think the home team has got it done just about every time, you know, because we have obviously a very good home field advantage, and they do too. Some back and forth, some tough ones over the years, big moments. It's been fun competing against him and Pete. You know, it's a lot of their guys have come and gone coordinator-wise and player-wise, but they always seem to find the similar body types, you know, fit in those spots. So you're looking out at, you know, Shaq and Flowers, and it reminds you of Sherman and Brandon Browner, you know, and then KJ and Bobby are still there. So they're always kind of been there, but you got a, you know, shorter free safety, you know, like Earl was, you know, so it's some good memories over the years, good battles.
Really good games, and the Seattle Seahawks will come in for another one here this weekend. 5:40 kickoff, Packers and Seahawks in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Which coaching staff has the advantage, Packers or Seahawks? 414-799-1250 here for Mike Holmgren in about 10 minutes.
I'm going to have to make a run out to Robert Specialty Meats on Saturday to get me some food for the game at home on Sunday.
Okay, so are you grilling or are you going to bake?
Well, my buddy Peanut Gallery, he's coming over.
Okay.
Good old Andy over here. He's going to come over.
Oh, man.
Our guy from
the
Disney podcast.
That's a late night. Is he going to Uber? Because I know Andy has a couple of mojitos or something. He's tipping the scales.
I'm more concerned if him coming out of our driveway, backing out, tends to be an issue for Andy from time to time.
Oh, man. Don't do this.
So,
poor kid.
Yeah. So, but
how
back.
Many times did he go into I'll that back. Ditch that one time?
No need to talk about it. But I'll back the car out for him like I do, and that way he'll be able to get out of there. He'll be fine. It'll be all right. But, yeah, so I think we're going to do, like, because they have huge, like, chicken breasts at Robert Specialty Meats, like, huge. So, like, we take those, put those in, like, the crock pot, And then after so many hours, you shred it, and then you put the barbecue sauce in, have like shredded chicken sandwiches.
Good call.
Get some jerky from over there and some other stuff over at Robert's. Maybe some ribs on a stick for little appetizers or whatever.
That's good stuff. Because there's certain foods that you can eat during a game. You can't sit down and have like a chicken parmesan where you have some noodles here and you have a nice chicken breast. You can't have both hands.
Wait a second.
Right? Like,
what
you can't
you
use a fork
about?
And a knife if you're watching
talking?
A game.
No, this needs to be
You
a
need
topic.
Handheld
no,
stuff.
No, we need to talk about this at some point. So what does that mean? So that means if somebody offered up Billy, I see if I get this right.
Right.
What are you doing for the game? Are you staying home with your girl and watching?
No, we're going to the game.
Oh, you're going to the game.
Going to the game.
Spoiled.
So you said that like 15 minutes ago. So that shows how much this guy listens to me when I talk.
In one
That's
ear,
fine.
Out
yeah.
the other. I did the same thing with Rami. So when you sit down to watch a game, right? And I got Paul Roberts walks into your living room while you're watching the game, you and your girl,
yep.
and presents you a nice steak, baked potato, and some veggies and stuff. You're going to look at Paul and go,
dude,
nah,
it's game time, man.
I can't eat a steak and a baked potato during a game.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Dude, I can't be
Get
sitting down here,
here
focusing
man.
On my plate. I got a game right in front of me.
Plucker. Turn your microphone on.
Dan Plucker's going to agree with me here. This guy real dude.
Are you like him? Like, there are only certain foods you can eat during a football
burger.
Game?
Absolutely.
Oh,
100%.
Come on.
Wings.
There's no way. You have to focus on the game. You have to have one hand on your food.
Yes.
One hand just sitting there as you watch the game.
Just
wings
sitting
are the most
there.
Wings are probably the most difficult to do because you sometimes do need both hands. And there's only so much focus that you can put in to going here, but the ease of being able to rip through and still have your eye on.
I can't have a fork and be focused on stabbing something.
100%.
Hold on. Hold on. First of all,
110%.
We're going to get into this thing about food. Wings? How is that a good thing, right? Because, I don't know, maybe you eat your wings with a fork and a knife. I don't. So I pick up my wings and I eat my wings with my hands,
yeah.
right? My fingers. You're going to get sauce all over your hands. Now, something's going to happen in the game, and you're going to go do something, and you're going to have wing sauce
all over the place.
All over,
That's
the,
part,
all over.
Part of the excitement.
There is no
part of the
chance I'm having wings in my living room watching the football
That's
game.
That's why you wear
or
jeans.
Or downstairs. There's no chance. Now, if we're at Billy's house, and it's him and his college roommates, and they don't care about the place they're renting, okay, that's different. But if you're at a place that, you know, you're paying for and you got to take care, you're not having wings, man. That's not happening. You're
why would
have,
I be watching a football game in a place that I'm paying for? Why would I not be home?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Saying like
well,
two
I,
nights
I pay
of a place.
Rent.
Oh, okay.
I pay rent. Right.
Lives in like
or
big boy
pay,
housing.
Or if you pay right, for a mortgage, right? You're not trying to go out and get shampoos and everything else in order to clean all the stuff up. I'm not doing all that stuff. No. I mean, if you're going to tell me, Spark, you can have a steak, a baked potato, some corn on the cob or something, or you could have some buffalo wings or something.
Yeah.
No, man.
Wings.
Steak, potato, corn. Let's
Al Capone, go. At one of those Al Capone Italian sausages.
Okay.
A sandwich like that.
Yes.
A brat.
Yeah, Al
that's
Capone
what
Italian
I'm talking
sausages
about.
Are great.
That works.
But the Al Capone roast?
No, man. There's too much looking and focusing down that I'd have to do.
Dude,
I'm not all that into multitasking
no,
in that part of the game.
For me, now you can't do this if you're at a bar. But if you're at home, a lot of people have DVRs, right? So you can just rewind if you miss a play and play it again. If you're looking down to take a bite and something happens and you want to see it again, rewind 3 seconds and watch it.
This is the playoffs,
3 seconds and watch it again.
This is the playoffs. You need to
have
full
intensity. You're going to watch a game two or three times.
You need to be clued in. I cannot be worried about cutting my medium steak and making sure that I'm not getting too much of the fat of the prime rib onto my fork. No, I need to be focused in on what we have going on in front of us and being locked in on every moment. I'm not trying to hit rewind. You know why? Because I don't want to be 4.5 seconds late.
Okay.
Because then I look on Twitter and somebody throws a pick and I already know about it. And then I'm yelling right as the thing's happening. I miss it again. It's like when you're watching the game back in the days, you know, 10 years ago, when people that would be in the kitchen at the party would be 2 seconds ahead of you. And then everybody's sitting in the living room. All the guys are sitting there in front of the 60-inch TV.
I gotta tell you a funny story.
And all the women in the back are like, oh, you're like, no, what happened? No, I missed it.
I gotta tell you a funny story.
That's the frustrating part.
By the way, if you are weird like Billy and Plucker, we want to hear from you. 414-799-1250.
I think most people are.
I don't think so. 414-799-1250. If you're willing to eat whatever's put in front of you during a game, doesn't really matter, then you're on my side. But I want to hear here. We're 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan wasn't on the rundown. Weren't supposed to do this, but his answer blew me away. So quickly about this whole delay stuff, right? So doing the Packer parties all year during the regular season, we have, you know, the big screen TV, and then you have all the other TVs around it. So I got the microphone So I'm wherever I am in the facility, and the one of the big screen TVs must have been set to cable, and the others were set to satellite or whatever. So it was like ahead of the big screen TV. So I saw down there, I was up on like the second or third level. I look down and I see Davante Adams catch a pass and score a touchdown. Big screen, they were just walking up to the line of scrimmage. So by the microphone, I was like, I'm feeling a Davante Adams. Big pass to Davante Adams here. Throws it, boom, he catches it. I'm like, he's going to score. Boom, scores. Everybody goes crazy. Everybody thought I was a swabby that I had to tell people that that really wasn't the case. I saw it. I mean, I could have let him.
I would have just rolled with it. Yeah.
It was like, great call, Spark. That was great. I was like, this TV over here was different than that one.
No, man, didn't you see that inside break that Davante had right away? You could tell they were coming in man coverage.
Oh, my God. It was brilliant. It was so funny.
All right, so we're actually taking calls on this?
Yeah, because I think you're nuts.
Well, Rogers and Cudahy.
My phone's blowing up now because of it, too.
Am I nuts that there's only certain foods that you can eat during a game like this?
Well, I fully appreciate where you're coming from, Baby Tosh. Here's a suggestion, because in our household, it's also an issue of me being rather messy while I eat.
Exactly.
My fiance, girlfriend, who is my current wife, we've carried on a tradition where I'll have meat and potatoes, and she'll cut it up and feed it to me while I'm watching the game.
Oh, man.
It's a very romantic thing
to do.
She doesn't do it in a subservient way, but understanding where you're coming from, you should try it with your girlfriend.
Thanks, Roger. And
did he just say that his girlfriend feeds him food while they're watching the game?
That's for Roger's wife. That's an applause for somebody that's a true team player. That's a true team player understanding the gravity of the situation. We need some assistance here.
There is no way. There's just no way that my girl is ever going to agree to that.
If she's a true team player, she would.
Your girl ain't going to do that either. Don't even look at me.
I'm not saying no. I mean, I'm not saying that I would turn it down. Like, that's what I'm saying. I cannot be sitting here slicing up a chicken breast while I'm watching the game, then dip it in a little bit of sauce, maybe a little cup of dressing, and have a little side salad. No. Give me a brat. Give me a burger. If you want a steak, give me a couple of pieces of meat or a couple of pieces of bread. I'll make it a steak sandwich and I'll eat it handheld. But I can't be sitting here with a full three-course meal in the middle of this game. There's just no time. Jamie is in Oak Creek. He's up on the fan. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys. Hey, Steve. It's Jamie.
What's up?
Hey, I'll agree with both of you. I know it's going to sound stupid, but it depends on where I'm at. I'm sitting at a bar watching a game. I can't have a big plate in front of me. It's got to be nachos.
Mm-hmm. Maybe another good one.
Something I can just eat one-handed. Now, if I'm sitting around at the dinner table with family, ribs on a stick, you name it, I can sit down and eat and watch a football game, but it depends on where I'm at and where I can eat it at.
Appreciate it, Jamie. That's understandable. Where your location, that kind of fits into yours. But nachos are another great one. The whole plate's right here. You grab while everyone's at the huddle. Everyone's back to the line. You're focused in. You can search and you can eye up the one with a good jalapeno bite. But I'm going to sit and wait, watch a play, come back, take a second, get the next play call, get the next chip, come back, and I'm ready to roll. Zach's in Cudahy. He's up on the fan. Zach, hey, you're on the radio. What's up, dude?
The proper way to watch a Packer game, of course, is to have the broadcast on TV, but to listen to Wayne and Larry on wherever they're broadcasting in your area.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be 60 to 90 seconds ahead, and then you're going to know exactly which plays you need to focus in on the hardest, so there's no reason to miss any of the important parts of the game while you're enjoying whatever fantastic food be set before you.
But isn't that like reading the book before going and seeing the movie? Like, you already know what's happening?
It's the very best of both worlds.
All right. Thanks, Zach. That's a weird flex, but I'm down with it. Like, good. I like to be in too much of the moment, and also I usually have too much money on the line for me to know and then wait.
that's the whole thing different from you and me.
Is a bit, that is a little bit, ever, a little issue, a
I don't
little difference.
Ever have anybody on these games, so I don't ever have the same issues necessarily that you do as far as being that stressed out. You get stressed out as a fan, but it's a different level of stress when you have money on a game versus not having money on a game.
And this game
completely
is just going to be so stressful.
Completely different.
I can just tell how stressful this game is already going to be. It's already giving me a little bit of heartburn. Like, in the middle of this third quarter, if it's how I think it's going to be 13-9 or whatever, we're all going to be sweating for the next 2.5 hours. Chris is in Waukesha. Let's grab one more on this before Mike Holmgren. Chris, you're on the Fan.
What's up, boys?
What's up, Chris?
We're doing ribs on a stick from Roberts.
There you go.
This is the revenge game, the NFC Championship debacle. I mean, I'm having the same people over. My Marine buddy, we just got wrecked last time because at halftime, we're trying to book a trip to the Super Bowl. And you know how it ended. So this is the revenge game, same group of people, might even get some barbecue wieners going, mini wieners going, and backup grandparents in case the parents get too out of hand to watch the kids.
Good call. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for the call. Talking about where you were for that 2014 title game, I know I've told this story just before, but I was flying back from Washington, D.C., actually at a substance abuse conference while I was in the nation's capital. And was brutally hungover on the way back. And I'm on this flight through the entirety of the game from Washington, D.C. back to Milwaukee. And Southwest, I was able to watch the game, right? So I'm freaking out, yelling. There's one other guy right next to me. He's 2 seconds ahead of me. So I'm watching the game
here.
Him and I are fist pumping. We're screaming the whole time during this flight. I got a brutal headache. Get off the plane, walk into the terminal at General Mitchell, right once you get out of security, and there's that big bay of TVs right by the arrivals and departures.
Sure.
As I walk past going into the parking structure to get to the car, you see Morgan Burnett intercept the pass, and Julius Peppers just wave down to him, get down. We're going to the ship, right? 12-point game at that point. Get into the car, driving back over to Waukesha, getting back to school. Had two of my buddies that we went to the trip with. It was school-sponsored. We're on our way back. And the whole time, the two girls that were with us in the back seat, they're Bears fans. They're kind of laughing. Me and the other guy, Alex, we're driving back. He's white-knuckling this wheel like his wife is going into labor. And the whole time, it's just progressively getting worse. We get off the freeway, get towards Waukesha. Marshawn Lynch scores the touchdown. We get into Waukesha. They tie the game. We pass onto the campus of Carroll. Crosby ties the game. So we're sitting here going into overtime, ready to rock and roll. I walk. He pulls into my driveway, into the house, 434 Maple Avenue, right in Waukesha. I get out of the car, I grab my bag, he shakes up with me, he goes, all right, let's do this thing, let's finish it off, go to Arizona. I walk into the house, and I hear Joe Buck yell that Kurse just scored the touchdown, they're going to the Super Bowl. I walked into my room, split my door open with my fist, and then I lost the security deposit on my house that year.
I was at Quaker Steak and Lube doing our parties for Packer games and so forth. When that interception happened, Morgan Burnett, and he went down, right? Got down, Julius Peppers, get down.
Yeah.
Baby Tosh, I'll never forget as long as I live. We had a full bar at Quaker Steak and Lube over here in New Berlin, right? Whole garage area was full.
Yeah, I was there for the 2016, and it was packed up. Yeah.
It was packed. Everybody starts doing this. Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Whole place was chanting Super Bowl, right? Then they lose. It was silence. Everybody walking out, right? Fast forward, like Tuesday of that week after they lost, we get a call from my guy, Scott, over there. And he says to our sales rep, hey, thinking about doing a Super Bowl party. I look at my sales rep. I said, are you kidding me? Like, what? Come on. He's messing with you. He's like, uh-uh. He wants to do a party for the Super Bowl. So I'm like, let me think about how I can spin this. So do you know what we did? We just said, okay, we're going to do it. So we did a Super Bowl party, and we did it completely around – the Brewers. So we did Brewers trivia throughout the game, baby Tosh. We gave away all Brewers tailgate items. We had a grill we gave away. We gave away a bunch of brats and everything else. Everybody came dressed in their Brewer gear that day to Quaker Steak and Lube for the Super Bowl party, right? That was what the
only
whole
way
thing
you could
was.
Do it.
And it was
a huge snowstorm that day on Super Bowl Sunday. And we are driving to Quaker Steak, and I'm going, we're going to be the only ones in this bar. We're going to be the only ones. Because, A, people are pissed off that Packers ain't playing in it, and they ain't coming. They want to come before. They may be coming for the brew. They ain't coming. Nope, I was wrong. We had like 40, 50 people that still showed up with all that crap snow that we had, still figured out a way to get there. All of our regulars still got there, and we had a great time. It was a lot of fun, but... Man, yeah, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, that's one that will stick in the teeth for a while. And I think some people will get over that with a win this weekend, but I'm not sure that it fully gets you over the 2014. Because that's a scar that stays with you. And only $1,000, I think, could really cheer that up. And that is on your way coming up right after this quick break. We got a two-minute timeout here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. And then you're going to hear our conversation with Mike Holmgren. But first, guys, Bofrink Beer, a premium-quality beer due to its superior ingredients that they brew in this country of Luxembourg. They've been doing it over 250 years in a family-owned brewery experience. They started this brewery in 1764. And ever since then, they've been crafting their lineup to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness, the crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple, or the perfectly balanced Bruin. All designed to give you a full flavor that doesn't fill you up. And guys, a little secret about Bofrink beer. This tailgate beer is the one you're going to want, because unlike the other imports that you might be drinking at your party this weekend for the game, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. You don't have to put a piece of fruit in it. You don't have to worry about cutting up a lime to put in your beer to make it taste good. You don't have time for that. This is the playoffs. We don't need fruit in our beer. We need good quality beer. So go grab a six-pack of Bofrink right now today at Total Wine and More. Raise fine food. Or Raise Wine and Spirits Festival Foods as well, where you can get some more tailgate food. Or on tap at Cafe Hollander, Nomad, or Revere's in Delafield. Right up here by the radio
right over
station.
Here, yeah.
Monstrous place. And as always, tweet your pictures of your Bofrink to me at Bill Schmidt Radio. And if you're having one out up at the game this weekend, let me know where you are, and we'll go drinking the Boff together, playoff style, and I'll come out and have a Bofrink on you, Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import for the playoffs. 414-799-1250. Mike Holmgren in 2 minutes on The Fan, and your chance at $1,000. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Your chance at $1,000 signing bonus right now on The Fan. This hour's cash keyword to 72881. Text GROW, G-R-O-W. Text GROW, G-R-O-W to 72881. Message and ad rates do apply. Make sure to stay tuned throughout the 3 and 4 o'clock hours for your next chance to win $1,000 here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Before we get into Mike Holmgren conversation, let's grab Ty in Philly here quickly at 414-799-1250. T.Y., good hearing from you. Playoff time.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, man, look, I got to agree with Baby Tosh, man. It got to be the wings, and it got to be the spicy meatballs with the toothpick, man,
yes,
for the game, man.
Something quick and handheld. I like that spicy meatball converse. That is a good one. Just straight in the crock pot, poke them out right away.
All right, so getting to this 2014 NFC Championship game. So I was upstate New York at my girl's house on the phone with all my family and Philly, making plans to either go to the Super Bowl or have a big Super Bowl party, whichever one I could get to first. So I'm on the phone, I'm talking to my family, and then that's when that fake kick happened, and it was just all downhill from there.
The fake field goal is, I think, the total game changer that we don't always think of, Ty.
Right.
The game was pretty much over at that point. You knew it was going to be dicey all the way through for the 60 minutes at that point.
All right, so the fake field goal, okay, I was like, okay, if they got to pull this out, they're desperate. They can't overcome this lead. They pull it out.
They're scared now, yes.
But when Marshawn Lynch scored that touchdown, because remember, he had two plays on that drive. He had the catch where they thought it was a touchdown, and then he had the run that was really a touchdown. That's when it was like, oh, man, all this happened in a matter of 6 minutes, man. I couldn't believe it. So that was just like the knockout blow. I mean, that in 07, man, stomach gut punch, and then the knockout blow.
Yeah, 2007 was another good one, Ty. I appreciate it, man. 2007, at the game with my dad, I mean, we pretty much mortgaged like my entire college fund that he had been putting away for like my first 13 years of life to try to get there to be able to see the Packers go to the Super Bowl. We're sitting there, and there was this guy in front of us who had chirped the whole game, and he's back high-fiving me. I was this ruckus little 13-year-old, not little, I mean, I was very pear-shaped. And I'm screaming the whole game. Guy's got a Packer hat on. There are these two Giant fans right in front of us. We're talking back and forth. Tynes misses the field goal to go into OT. or he goes up to line up for the field goal. Dude flips his Packer hat to a Giant hat who I had been talking to the whole game and starts chirping me. And then he misses it to go into overtime. I'm telling you, I don't know how many times I cursed in front of my father before I was about 18, but I think 94% of the times that I did were in like that 2.5 minute span towards that whatever 35-year-old dude that then put the Packer hat back on, and I was just letting him have it. I was having none of this infidelity. You're either going to line up with us or you're going to die or you're going to leave. You're going to go. And I told him some other choice words, and that one was also heartbreaking. Mike Holmgren was not here for that one, but he was there for the game before Packers and Seahawks. Man that coached both of these two organizations joined us on the Wendy's Big Show. Coach Holmgren, appreciate the time. And as a Green Bay Packer fan, I have to say, appreciate everything you did for the organization.
Well, that's very kind of you, and it's great to talk with you guys. And my old partner, Leroy Butler, who I hope and he should get in the Hall of Fame this year. I'm pulling for you, buddy.
I'm trying to figure this out. How are you going to go in, but I want you to do my speech? I'm confused.
Yeah, how is that going to work?
Well, I think probably the odds are I'll be able to do your speech, and you don't have to worry about that.
And you just stay up there and do yours. I do have a question for you, because I know you played with both of the franchises, but what Matt LaFleur did in his first year, Coach. I remember you first came in, your first year, but the first time we were able to go to the playoffs, you know, what kind of goes through a new coach's mind when you're getting into the playoffs and it's kind of new for you and your team?
Well, I think, first of all, I think he's done a great job. I think the team, to me, when I've had a chance to watch it, it looks really good. Aaron's playing well. And defensively, they're putting a lot of pressure on the receivers. They've got a couple of guys that are really, really great receivers. So I think their coach has done a great job. I think coming into a new situation, Leroy, and you know this, even when I came in, you kind of change things. You change things a little bit because the team has to reflect your personality, not the previous coach. And it's just that you're different. So you want the team to be what you want the team to be. And clearly he's done that. He has a good relationship with the quarterback. And, you know, I just think it helps to have an Aaron Rodgers on your roster when you take over as a new guy. You know, we traded for Brett, and Brett was he wasn't a veteran; he was a rookie and a wild stallion. So it took us a little while, but once we figured that thing out, you know, you guys on defense helped us, and then we got there.
Yeah, I want to take that to the next level. How do you get guys to play different in the playoffs? You know, the regular season is one way. I just remember these conversations you used to give us to get the most out of your star players in the playoffs, how important it was. I think we were like 48-6 at home, but what did you do to get us to that level as a coach? What can you say? What you change things? I mean, I was telling Steve and Baby Tosh and Gary how you would come down and sit next to a particular player in his locker room and just have a one-on-one discussion with him. What do you have to do in this day and age to get your star players to perform in the playoffs?
I did it with you guys, and I did it with the guys in Seattle, and I just grew up learning this, I think, and communicating with players. You guys, it's your team. I'm there to try and put you in a position to the best position to win, but many times you guys are playing the game, and so I'm there to help you. And the other thing I would challenge you and the team to, you know, I thought there was four distinct seasons. There's a preseason, there's a regular season, there's the playoffs, and then there's the Super Bowl game. And there was no question in my mind that during the season you guys sold out and you gave me everything. Then when you go into the playoffs, what you talk to your team about, you say, I know you gave me everything. You have not left anything on the field, but you know what? Now I'm going to ask you for more. Reach down and get some more. You can do this. And just kind of encourage you that way. And I'll tell you what, you guys, you and Reggie and Favre and all those guys, you responded that way. I mean, as good as you were in the regular season, when you got to the playoffs, it was special. It was different. And you reached down somewhere. Every player has to decide. You reach down and you get some more. And that's what you did.
Coach, can you talk about Leroy and what he meant to that team in 96?
Yeah, I mean, well, he was a leader, obviously. Aside from being a great football player, you know, a very talented man, you know, he was a leader. And I don't think he didn't strike me as a tremendously vocal guy running around doing everything, but he was a leader when he had to be vocally. And then also his example on the field. You know, and he never came out. He was, I'm sure he had bumps and bruises just like everyone else, but he's a tough guy. And then, of course, when he jumped into the stands that first time, it kind of set the tone for years and years and years to come.
When he jumped in the stands, what did you say yourself? What is this guy doing?
Yeah, I did. You know, because and Leroy would tell you this. Maybe he's told you this already. I was kind of old-fashioned, and I wasn't big on like now what they do and the dances and stuff. That's not my thing. So, but you know what? When he did that, I said, okay. And I think I may have even said, hey, let's not do that anymore. But it was done.
Well, if you didn't like that, then you probably weren't a big fan of Robert Brooks making a song of it.
No. I mean, you know what? That whole thing, I will tell you this, and I hope Leroy would say this. We did have fun, though. I mean, yes, football is hard.
Yes.
It's hard, and the guys work hard. But even to our wheel that, you know, the flower wheel, when guys miss practice, that I'd have, I did try to do some fun things just to kind of relieve the pressure just a little bit, because it's a long season and it's tough. And I hope they realize that.
When you look at where we are now today in the National Football League, as far as quarterback play and the running back effect on this league versus where it was when you got to Green Bay, and how much you really use the running backs versus how they use them now and the ways they use them, do you like the way of the new offense in the NFL now, or does it feel a little bit more like arena football to you?
No. I think football's ever-changing, and I think the NFL, it was called a copycat league often. And I think what's coming out of college now and the different rule changes and things, you're seeing a different type of athlete. Look at Russell Wilson. He's a great player. He's not the tallest guy, and I think he dropped to the third round because of that. But then you look at the young man at Baltimore and the guy in Texas. You know, it's a different style coming out of college. And then as a coach, and Leroy knows Andy Reid very well,
yep,
in Kansas City, what they're doing with Mahomes. He's a different style quarterback, but you have to adjust because of what's going on in college now. And then, you know, you can say, oh, you know, we're going to run my offense. Well, that's silly. You know, I mean, you can keep the good stuff, but then you must adjust to the players you have. And I think it's kind of exciting. It's fun. Now, I think the rules have changed to make it harder on the defensive guys. Mm-hmm. And I think Leroy would tell you that. But and there's a lot more passing. The passing yardage now numbers are staggering. But it's fun to watch, and it's still a great game. And we're going to see a great game on Sunday.
Talking with Mike Holmgren, Super Bowl champion and now Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan. Mike, it's fascinating hearing you just talk about adjusting to the players you have, because you saw the West Coast offense run to an absolute T in San Francisco. Joe Montana, Steve Young, seeing it to perfection. Then you came in to Green Bay, and you had Brett Favre, who was a wild gunslinger guy. How much adjusting did you have to do in those first couple of years to understand how to harness that talent you had?
Well, it was interesting because, yeah, you're right. I came and I was the quarterback coach and coordinator in San Francisco with Montana and Steve Young. And when you worked for Bill Walsh in that position, I had to have my iron pants on because I got ripped often about how precise things had to be in playing the position. And so that's how I learned it, and that's how I tried to teach it. And then I get Brett, who is multi-talented, but was not and disciplined in many ways, but not the same type of quarterback as those other guys. Not the same type. So, you know, I had to adjust. And I remember, and Leroy might remember this too. We played somebody, and we won, and we were traveling home. And he came up, and he would never do this, but Brett came up and sat next to me. And there was a seat open next to me. No one really ever wanted to sit in that seat because usually got blistered pretty good. But he sits down, and I go, what do you want? And he goes, you know what? I get it. I get it. And something clicked, and I said, I've been trying to help you the whole time, you know. And we laughed a little bit. But he finally gets it, and that's what you have to do as a coach. You have to communicate and use the talents that he has while still teaching some of the basic things that I think are, I don't care what offense you run, there's certain types of disciplines you need to be successful.
You know, that feels like and sounds a lot like Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers this year. You know, Matt LaFleur talked about, you know, it's going to be a little give and take, and we got to try to work at it and do it together.
That's right, and that's exactly right. Now, the problem that can originate is if one of the sides isn't trying, you know, and if you have the toughest guys were the real bright quarterbacks, you know, the Harvard guys or the, you know, and I had Steve Young and Matt Hasselbeck were cerebral. They were always, and they'd ask questions instead of just saying, I want to do it this way. They go, why? You know, we'd have meetings like that. And pretty soon they figured out that I was trying to help them and just kind of work with me. And if you have questions, good questions, I'll be happy to help you with it. But this has worked, and it's going to work again. And so that type of conversation, there's a trust that has to develop between the play caller and the head coach. And if you have one of those star quarterbacks or a great player like that,
and from
it's like LeRoy on defense. You know, you trust the defensive play caller, Fritz Schirmer, LeRoy Butler. They trusted one another.
Yes.
And so that's how it has to be.
From your observation with this offense, do you still see it that way with LaFleur and Rodgers, the trust?
It seems that way. I mean, I'm not there, and I really don't know LaFleur at all.
Mm.
I know Aaron just a little bit, but it seems that way. You know, that they're, you know, you see, but you'll always see, you know what, it kills me because people say, you watch it on television, they say, did you see him give him that look?
Well, Coach, is that the look that you gave Far One when you said no more rocket ball?
Yeah, none of that crazy.
You know what? Fortunately, I never yelled at anybody.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Coach, here's why I think you're a Hall of Famer. Now, just hear me out for a second. I know I'm biased, but I want people to really just understand where you're coming from. We just lost to the Cowboys in Dallas. We're on the plane in 95. Now, everybody's feeling bad, and I remember you getting up, and you're walking through the plane, and you're thanking everybody. And you said, next year we're going to win it. Next year we're going to win it. That's all guys talk about now when we get together. I remember Coach saying, next year we're going to win it. And next year we did win it. But you have to tell me the story and tell the audience about the story about Reggie White. Because getting Reggie White to me was paramount for everything we had to do for leadership, as far as being the first free agent and why he chose the smallest market. And he always talked about something that you said or something on his answer machine or something. He was telling us how you and Ron Wolf just kind of presented a plan to him. But tell me how you were able to sign Reggie White. That was amazing.
Well, you know what? It was. And I remember when Ron came in during free agency. And Ron said, we're gonna go after Reggie White. I said, that's awesome. I mean, because Reggie playing against him, he always had a game plan for him because he was
right.
So good. And so, I said, great. And he's making if you remember, Reggie was making the tour. You know, he went to Baltimore. They gave him the keys to the city. He's getting fur coats, and he's getting all sorts of stuff. He goes to, you know, somewhere else, New York. And I made the comment, I mean, what are we gonna do? Give him a block of cheese? What are we going to do for him? You know, and they said, well, you know, let's just get him. So Ray Rhodes and I, and Roy, you remember Ray?
Oh, yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah, and we went down and visited Ray and visited Reggie, surprised him at his home, had lunch with him. So he knew we wanted him badly. He knew that. And so we came home, and Reggie is a Christian man, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I my faith was very strong, and so I phoned him, and I said, Reggie, this is God. I want you to go to Green Bay. And and then I hung up, left it on his anthem. And then he te- tells me later, you know, fortunately, he had a great sense of humor, as you know.
Yes, yes.
So he didn't take – he took it like I meant for him to take it. But, you know, we got him. And I think Ron Wolf said – I said, you know, he knows that story. And he goes, well, it also helped we paid him a lot of money.
Yeah.
No doubt.
That didn't hurt.
No doubt.
But I'll tell you what it did, though. It we had arguably the greatest defensive player ever. African-American black kid who came in, and now you could recruit kids like that into Green Bay, which is a different, you know, a different community at that time, you know, for the black athlete. And it just made everything better. It made everything better, aside from the fact he was a great guy and a great football player.
That's Mike Holmgren yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike Holmgren, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist this year for the centennial celebration of the NFL, and what a better way to wrap up the divisional round of the 100th season of NFL football than at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, Packers and Seahawks, two of the pristine organizations of the last decade and a half in the NFC. And tomorrow we're going to be getting you ready live out at Stenny's. I cannot wait for some wings and some of the Bill Michaels garlic cheese bread. I'm telling you, Sparky, you've never had the Bill Michaels bread there, but Bill Michaels talks about it quite a bit, and understandably so, because it's pretty legit. Gina Della and I were smacking some last time that we were down there for that Halloween spectacular and all that kind of stuff, but had to take an Uber there. So I will not be doing that for the show
you
tomorrow.
You got to go to the Admirals game after that, don't you?
Yeah, and then I got to come back here and do the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show.
You better sleep in tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'll be doing that and Saturday.
And we got Michael Irvin on the show tomorrow.
4:45. Again. Can't wait for that. So we'll talk to the Hall of Famer as well tomorrow. We'll talk to our own Hall of Fame finalist, Leroy Butler, coming up next as he leaps into the studios as well. And tomorrow, want to make sure people have appointment listening tomorrow at 6 o'clock. The Lodge Kohler kickoff. Bill Michaels will leave Stenny's at 2, drive up to Green Bay, and he's going to sit down and have a little fireside chat with our friend Aaron Jones.
Always entertaining.
Who is one of the more entertaining and polite individuals you'll ever hear in the NFL.
Very respectful. So, very entertaining.
Yeah, though. So you'll enjoy that conversation. That comes up tomorrow at 6. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan. This is the Wendy's Big Show. And there was some comments about Steph Curry maybe doing a little fraternization with our boy Giannis last night. What do you make of it? And what was Steph's explanation? You're not going to want to miss this next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.